Any analysis of the Yellow Vests phenomenon, or of official responses to it, does need to adjust for the France factor. In most countries, large-scale public protest is the last resort of frustrated citizens. In France, it's pretty much the first response. The grievances, which historically have been expressed elsewhere with peevish letters to newspaper editors, have traditionally been expressed in France by hurling sections of footpath at the gendarmes. Attempts to replicate the Yellow Vests phenomenon elsewhere have been notably less dramatic. In the UK, it has amounted to a few dozen middle-aged men who can't understand why they're not allowed to see their kids, blocking traffic and yelling about the foreigners. But even by France's standards, the Yellow Vests have been a big deal. The movement began mobilising last November, taking its name and its uniform from the high-visibility jackets which all French motorists must carry. The Yellow Vests have been staging vast protests, many of them violent, and various other direct actions, including incapacitating, by one estimate, 60% of France's speed cameras. In keeping with the traditions of French protest, the Yellow Vests are keener and clearer on what they don't want than what they do. Originally inspired by objections to diesel taxes, their anger has expanded into a broad, non-specific rage with the modern world in general. Comparisons have been made with the storied revolts of May 1968, which at one point briefly looked like they might have forced the fall and flight of President Charles de Gaulle. France's present president, Emmanuel Macron, has correctly identified that the Yellow Vests may pose an existential threat to his decreasingly popular presidency. So, beginning this week, with an almost audible sigh of "I've got to get back in touch with the rabble," Macron intends to spend from now until March touring France, talking to actual people. This is not the first concession Macron has made to the Yellow Vests. He has previously announced some tax cuts and floated the idea of immigration quotas. But it is the most dramatic concession, and the one likely to be most closely monitored by other European leaders beleaguered by angry mobs. Under Macron's grand new outreach programme, any citizen of France may apply to organise and chair a debate. Policy proposals which emerge from them will be scrutinised by officials and considered by the government. Macron introduced the scheme with a 2,330-word open letter to the people. It is, much as Macron depicts himself, a model of inclusive reasonableness. "We won't agree on everything," he wrote, "but that's normal, that's democracy. But at least we'll show that we are a people who are not afraid to speak, to exchange views and debate. And perhaps we'll discover that we might even agree, despite our different persuasions, more often than we think." Macron's idea is also, as he put it, to transform anger into solutions. It is difficult to imagine a more desirable advance in political alchemy, or, unfortunately, a less likely one. The idea that angry populists might be converted into constructive participants in the democratic discourse if only someone would listen to them relies on the belief that the Yellow Vests, or Brexiters, or Trump voters actually want to be listened to. It fails to consider the possibility that what they want is to make noise and enjoy the discomfort it causes in others. Macron should perhaps look further back than Charles de Gaulle. In 1789, King Louis XVI, who, in fairness, offered citizens rather more to complain about than President Macron ever has, asked the estates to submit their catalogues of grievances. Within 4 years, Louis learned the hard way that the general appetite for compromise was smaller than he believed. For Monocle 24, I'm Andrew Muller.